Blog Talk Radio.
Ace was born to race. He had a mean streak 2 feet wide. A son of a gun with a taste for fun and more than his share of pride. Take a dirt road curve with the devil's nerve, make a car dance across the mud, and haul and shine with his regular lines, and the track got in his blood. He was a real hot shot and he bragged a lot, but man, that fool could drive. Cause he loved the feel of the steering wheel and the girls with the bedroom eyes. And in a racing tide or a barroom fight, old Stroker stole the show. A backstretch blazer, a real hell raiser, and a racetrack Romeo.
Mama, lock your daughters up, that foul bunch is back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody's brakes have failed. There's oil slick on the inside and a rick along the rail. You better stand on the Stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail.
It's a downright joy for a country boy when he hears them engines moan. But you gotta hang tough and it gets real rough when you're out there on your own. Cause they'll push you around, they'll knock you down, they'll shove you up against the wall. And you always know when the engine blows that a man can't win them all. You could push that car just a little too far any Sunday afternoon. And if you'd break your neck, some damn fool wreck, they'd forget about you soon. But old Stroker Ace was born to race and it's worth all the trying. Just to drink champagne in the victory lane and to hear that concrete whine.
Stroker, get your dander up, this ain't no time to lag. You got to make a lap up if you're gonna take that checkered flag.
Number 10 is closing in to even up the score. It's time to wave bye-bye and put the pedal on the floor. You better stand on the Stroker cause you're blowing off their door.
Blow the doors off, Stroker. Stand on it, son. Good-looking devil, you.
Good evening, Fast Lane Sports Nation. What a weekend it was. Racing is back, ladies and gentlemen. We have dirt racing. We have short track racing. We have NASCAR. It is back. Here's what we have coming up on tonight's show. We've got Talking Dirty with Christina. She is here tonight with me. We will talk about Lucas Oil, World of Outlaws, the All-Stars. We've got NASCAR in Los Angeles. That's right. Matt Humphrey will be here coming up a little bit later in the show to talk to us about the 2021 NASCAR season, the clash at the Coliseum, and what's to come in 2022. We've got Super Bowl 56, Cincinnati versus the Rams coming up next Sunday. We've got the penalty box coming up later in the show as well, and so much more. So keep it tuned right here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Let's go!
From the 357 Woodworks Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fast Lane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
That's right. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. I'm your host, Pete. It's Monday night. It's Monday. Oh, that's right. It's Monday, ladies and gentlemen, and we are live on a Monday. It hasn't been a Monday show in years, and my co-host tell us all about that. It's been a long time since we've been on a Monday night show, but we are here. Thank you to our sponsors for tonight. Of course, 357 Woodworks. We are coming to you live each and every night from the 357 Woodworks Studios. And also, big shout out to Barbasol Shave. Barbasol. Couldn't have done it without Barbasol. They bring us our phone lines each and every show. So thank you. Shout out to Barbasol for that as well. Don't forget to check out Margazzano Designs on Facebook. Give them a like. Jamie Kelly, Keller Williams Realty on Facebook. Give her a like as well. Debbie G Photography. Give Debbie a like on Facebook as well. Those are some of the associate sponsors of the show that they do stuff for us every now and then. And so we throw out some shout outs to them. on the shows as well. We've got a great lineup for you tonight. We have Matt Humphrey. He is coming up in a little bit, just a little bit later in the show. He will be here, and we will talk to him about some NASCAR stuff. Of course, NASCAR got kicked off yesterday in Los Angeles, and we, of course, will talk about that in just a little bit. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We better get to it. Let me bring on my co-host now from sunny South Florida, although I don't think it's too sunny right now at 8:30 at night, 8 o'clock at night. Christina, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. All right, scared me for a second.
No, I'm here.
Okay. I am joined by Christina, my co-host of Talking Dirty. Christina, let's do a little Talking Dirty because I know I teased the beginning of the show and made it sound like NASCAR kicked off racing yesterday. That is quite the contrary, and I don't want our dirt racing fans to be upset with me. I know we've had racing now since the beginning of January. It all started with the Chili Bowl, and we've been having some racing since then. But NASCAR kicked off yesterday. They'll be back here in a couple more weeks in Daytona. But we do have quite a bit to go on and talk about in the Lucas Oil Dirt Racing season series, Christina, with the late models. They're getting at it.
They're getting down and dirty.
They are.
They're proving what they're good at. And Devin Moran, he's on such a little tear right now.
He is, if he's not winning, he is definitely making sure that he is on that podium and trying to get a huge points lead going into the beginning of the Lucas Oil late model dirt racing series season. All these races count towards the points for Lucas Oil. Christina, we'll talk about some of that. We'll talk about the point standings coming up. We'll kind of break it down and kind of clarify a few things for people if they look at those, because, you know, there's some drivers that are on the point standings list that aren't going to be there much longer, but we'll talk about that. They are actually down around your way right now, but before they got there, they started racing at a few other tracks, Christina, and we saw Big Sexy take home some money a week or so ago.
Yeah, in the Super Bowl of racing. So the Golden Isle Speedway showed, you know, what it was good in 3 days of racing, and now we're in Florida. But no, Big Sexy tried. I don't know if he called it was cheating or what happened. He did get disqualified one night.
Yeah, I believe it was the 28th, the second night of racing. Yeah, down there in Golden Isles Speedway, the Lucas Oil Dirt Racing Series showed up, the late models, for four nights of racing. One night was practice, but they got there January 26th. They were there till the 29th. And the man that you spoke of earlier, Devin Moran, he won night one, which was 10,000 to win. And we saw a couple people on the podium that night with Mr. Moran that he's probably glad he doesn't have to race nightly, because those two drivers that he ended up on the podium with were, they're definitely some wheelmen. And I'm talking about Brandon Shepherd and Kyle Larson.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay knowing that Kyle Larson's not a full-time competitor for him.
He has to put up with Brandon Shepherd for a couple weeks, and then maybe a few other races scattered throughout the year. But I'm pretty sure he's probably glad he doesn't have to race against him for points either.
Yeah, but I think that his biggest competition is going to be the one we talked about earlier, which is Brandon Overton, or a.k.a. Big Sexy.
Mr. Big. We can't talk about Brandon Overton and not call him Big Sexy, especially
no, it's weird.
Talking Dirty, the dirtiest show on the internet. We got to talk about Big Sexy. But he did. Brandon Overton did win the next two nights, and he beat out Devin Moran both nights. And then there's Kyle Larson again on the last night of the Super Bowl of Racing. Kyle Larson makes the podium in third. Yeah, Brandon Overton wins the big $15,000 to win night, the last night at Golden Isle Speedway.
He loves big money. I mean, he doesn't race for small money.
This is true. He follows the money. He has no allegiance to either series. He just follows that money.
It's kind of smart if you think about it.
I mean, why not? If you're not worried about a points championship, I mean, you're in it for the money. So you might as well go win it all.
Take all the money and all the trophies. That's all he needs.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. From there, we move to the Winter Nationals at Bubba Raceway Park, January 31st through February 1st. We had the Lucas Oil late model show up there. And again, Mr. Devin Moran making a name for himself. Night number one, Mr. McCready beats out Devin Moran and Brandon Shepherd and gets the win, but Devin Moran comes right back the next night. Both nights were 10,000 to win, but Devin Moran gets the win on night number two, beating out Tyler Erb and Ricky Thornton Jr.
That was night two.
So already in just these first five races, Devin Moran has podiumed every single night. And
well, he needs to learn how to stay there.
He does. He does. He only had one bad night now since the season started. Since January 27th, he's only had one bad night from Bubba Raceway Park. We move to Altec Raceway, February 3rd through the 5th. Night number two got canceled there due to weather. Devin Moran podiumed that first night behind in between the Brandons. So it was a Brandon sandwich with Devin being the meat.
Yeah. I mean, he needs to just keep it up because he's got a long way to go.
He does. It is going to be a long season for Devin Moran. But Brandon Shepherd got the win there. And on the last night at Altec Raceway, February 5th, we see Mr. Owens beat out McCready and Davenport to get the win there. So only one Tim McCready. Tim McCready was second. Also, only one night that Devin Moran did not finish on the podium, and that was the last race that they were at before heading to the Winter Nationals, which we'll talk about in a minute. So far, Christina, Devin Moran's having a pretty good start to the Lucas Oil Late Model Series season. Is this something that we should expect to see for the year? I mean, he had a pretty good year last year as well.
Yeah, but if we remember correctly, he also had a Logan Schuchart kind of year where he was up and then he fell away and then he came back a little and then he fell back again. He needs to be more consistent. The way this season has started, he needs his whole year to go that way.
Well, I'm sure that he's got that in the back of his mind, especially especially heading into this weekend. Now, real quick, I didn't know this. I'm sure this is something you knew since you're a huge late model fan. Also, big shout out real quick to Craig for tuning in tonight and listening. Thank you, Craig, for that. We have what's called the AG Protect One Speed Week bonus. Now this year, I'm sure that is the sponsor of the Speed Week bonus, but it goes from January 27th all the way through February 12th. And for those who don't know, like me, I didn't know that till tonight when I was doing my research for the show, but any driver competing in all 14 scheduled Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series races in Georgia and Florida Speed Weeks events is eligible for these bonuses. Now, here's the bonus. Any driver winning 8 or more races gets $20,000 bonus, and the driver who wins 10, at least 10 of the 14 races will get a $100,000 bonus.
Yeah, but has come close to the winning 10?
Since this all started, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I didn't even know this was a thing. But with that said, Christina, Devin Moran is, I mean, he's already got, what, two? He's already got two wins.
Big Sexy has two wins.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get the 10 because there's only five.
I don't think either.
Left. So I don't even think Brandon or Devin, Brandon Overton or Devin Rand can get to the 8 wins either.
I don't think so.
There's been
tonight, too many winners.
Yeah, it's already for tonight through Saturday. So that's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, if Moran would have to win every night, Devin Moran would have to win every night this week.
No offense, I just don't think so. That's a lot of beating to take on a car.
Yeah, that is definitely.
And mind you, they're a completely different track for the rest of the week compared to what they were at.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't see, I mean, he could prove us wrong, but I don't see Devin Moran getting sweeping the entire week.
Well, that if he does, kudos to him, and I will apologize next week.
So that's where we're at. We are, the drivers have arrived to your neck of the woods, kind of, I guess, Tampa Bay.
This one's is more west.
More west Tampa's of you?
Yeah, so Tampa is north and west of me. It's closer to, like, the Gulf in Texas and stuff like that.
Okay. Well,
I'm closer to the ocean. In Cuba.
They are at East Bay Raceway Park for the week. They have set up shop. It's the Clay by the Bay, and it's the Risco Industries 46th Annual East Bay Winter Nationals. I feel like this is something that you have circled on your calendar, Christina, of things to go to. I feel like this would be heaven for you.
Oh yeah, I would love to been able to do this. It's just I can't.
Yeah.
Not yet, but East Bay does this with the late models. They put on a great show with sprint cars as well. It's just it's such a great track, and I'm glad that we're still doing the Winter Nationals.
Yes. It is definitely something I think a lot of people probably have circled on their calendar of things to do, especially when you have it's the only late model, national touring late model series running right now because We'll talk about the World of Outlaws in a minute, but it's just the Lucas Oil right now. So you've got Devin Moran, Brandon Shepherd, Tim McCready, Ricky Thornton Jr., Tyler Erb, Hudson O'Neill, Dennis Erb Jr., Jimmy Owens, you know, all of the big names, Brandon Overton, all of the big names are racing with the Lucas Oil guys right now because they're the only things running and there's money to be had. So it would be fantastic to see all of those drivers in one race because once the World of Outlaws gets started, Christina, half of these drivers are it's going to split in half. And then you won't see them all together again until certain races throughout the year, different certain, you know, big money races throughout the year. But this is definitely a time of the year where you can see all of the big names in late model coming together for one race or for one week of racing.
Yeah, because so what's going to happen for folks that don't get how the winter, a.k.a. the start of dirt racing, goes in Florida? So we always have it where Lucas Oil starts their schedule first for almost 90% of the time. And then what happens is after February 12th, we're going to switch gears, so to speak, and we're going to have the World of Outlaw late models take over. But you're still going to see all the Lucas Oil guys running. Nothing will change in that aspect. So you'll get to see them still for almost three quarters of the month of February run together. And then obviously they will split in the respective series.
Yeah, but to see all the drivers together, I mean, that is awesome. So we talked about the standings. If you were to go to the Lucas Oil website, lucasdirt.com, and look at the championship points standings as it stands right now, you would see Devin Moran on top with two wins. And then below him, you would see Brandon Shepherd, Tim McCready, Ricky Thornton Jr., Tyler Erb. That's your top five. Now, we know that one of those is going to be dropping way down the Lucas Oil points, obviously, here soon because he's a full-time World of Outlaw driver, and that is Mr. Brandon Shepherd. So, you know, you look at the top 10 in points, or you can look at all the points and see all these drivers on here, but most, you know, half of them are going to be dropping down and not even contending because they will be racing with the World of Outlaws. So, but with that said, you know, with Brandon Shepherd also doing very well right now, that is giving Devin Moran that cushion that he's going to need because once we get hot and heavy into the Lucas Oil season, those other guys are going to be racing and not have Brandon Shepherd taking points away from them. So this cushion, this start that Devin Moran got, Christina, I think that's good.
Yeah, it's definitely going to help him, especially against Tim McCready, who is a past series champion. So he's going to want to put as many points as he can between him and Timmy. Just like Brandon Shepherd. When he gets, you know, that 2,000-point lead in the World of Outlaws.
Yeah, and that's only a matter of time before we see that.
I hope
so.
Not.
It seems to have been, you know, the way it's been the last couple years. But
somebody throw a monkey wrench in that car.
You keep telling guys to do stuff, and nobody's done it yet. Nobody listens to you, Christina.
Story of my life.
After this Saturday with the Lucas Oil guys, they will be off again until March 11th. Then they will come back. March 11th, they will be at the 411 Motor Speedway in Tennessee for two nights, Friday, Saturday, March 11th and 12th. The reason they are off for that long, and we will talk about it now, since we'll stay since we're talking about Lucas Oil late models, we'll stay with the late model theme, and we will talk about the World of Outlaw Morton Building late model series, which has not started yet. They will pick up and start racing February 16th through the 19th, and they will be at Volusia Speedway to kick off their Dirt Car Nationals for the Outlaws. So then, again, we will see all of these guys racing, but now they will be racing with the World of Outlaw series. So now Brandon Shepherd and those guys will be getting their points for their series, but you'll still have the Devin Morans and Tim McCready's racing as well.
Yeah, that way they can get all the kinks, the bugs out of that car before they go to March and the season really kicks off.
Yeah, definitely. These are definitely for the guys like you just said, Brandon Shepherd even right now. Him and Brandon Shepherd, you know, Dennis Erb Jr., Boone Briggs, these guys.
Davenport,
yeah. These guys that race with the Outlaws full-time, you know, they're able to use these Lucas Oil races because they're not worried about points. So, you know, Brandon Shepherd's definitely trying to get that car tuned in and dialed up for when his season starts in Volusia. So we will see the World of Outlaw Morton Building Late Model Series start their season February 16th through the 19th at Volusia. Christina, how far is Volusia from you?
Ironically enough, it's about the same difference, just straight north. Where I'm at is one of most southern parts of Florida before hitting the Keys. So it's about a four-hour drive no matter where I want to go.
Yeah.
But it's
so,
okay.
About the only racing you see is probably on the freeway or in the swamp with the wind boats or whatever those things are called.
Sometimes, yes. or we go to Homestead. Homestead is the closest track.
Or Homestead, yeah. And you've been there for a championship.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes,
time.
And I kind of want to go in November now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to see Noah Gregson in a cup car?
I know you do, so that's not even a question. Volusia Speedway, while we're talking about them, they will be a busy speedway coming up here very soon because the
Already
World
are.
Of Outlaws not only get the late model series kicked off February 16th at that track, but before that, we will have sprint cars making their way around the track. The World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series will be there February 10th through the 12th at Volusia. They actually kick off Dirt Car Nationals, and then the late models will take over the following week. So big time racing going to happen in Florida here over the next couple weeks.
Actually, it starts tomorrow if you want to get in the other series.
Yeah, I mean, we were going to talk about them, but yeah, you're right.
But
the
yeah.
All-Stars, they officially get their season started tomorrow, and they will race tomorrow and Wednesday at Volusia because they were going to try and race at Sonoya Raceway, but that all got canceled last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, that really got a lot of rain.
Yeah, so, but yeah, the All-Star Circuit of Champions, they will get the sprint car series started tomorrow at Volusia Speedway for 2 days. And then immediately following that will be the NOS Energy Drink sprint car. So you've got the late model drivers at East Bay this week, and you've got all the sprint car guys at Volusia this week. So you could stay in a hotel right in the middle and one night go watch all late models and the next night go watch the sprint cars and just drive back and forth all week.
Ooh, that's a lot of gas with the price of gas these days.
But
man,
look at all the guys you would get to see.
Valid. That it's a very valid point. And, you know, if you can do it, do it. Because the craziest thing is we're going to have the 2 days with the All-Stars. The All-Stars aren't going to leave. They're going to run with the Woo. And then the Woo is going to run with the All-Stars during, you know, Super Bowl weekend.
Mm-hmm.
At East Bay. So, you know, we're just bouncing around in Florida. I mean, the FDOT, as it's called here, is going to be making mucho money, you know, on all of these race car drivers and everything because, you know, you're going to have to pay to run the turnpike.
Oh, definitely. But, you know, these series guys, I mean, they run turnpikes all year. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, as you mentioned, East Bay and Volusia Speedway right now, they are making their year's worth of ticket admission sales over the next couple weeks because, yeah, like you mentioned, following Volusia Speedway, all of these guys will be going to East Bay for 2 days on the 14th and 15th of February. So, if you need some place to spend Valentine's Day and don't have reservations at a restaurant, you could head over to East Bay Raceway and take in the 410 sprints.
I would say save the money from an expensive restaurant and go to the racetrack and get track food. Much better.
There you go. Get yourself a hot dog and a beer, maybe even a cheeseburger. Check out some racing. That sounds like a great Valentine's Day.
It would be better than dressed up and being annoying.
Oh, man. Are you excited? Are you excited that all of this racing is getting kicked off and started now?
Yeah, I love this time of the year. It's some of the best racing. And mind you, folks, for Volusia, it's not just late models and it's not just sprint cars. They're going to have the crate cars. They're going to have, you know, all kinds of racing going on at Dirt Car Nationals. It's a whole bunch of racing. It's amazing.
What going into this year, what do you look for? What do you want to maybe see happen, especially with the Outlaws, with the Lucas Oil late models? You know, as of right now, Devin Morant obviously looks like the front runner for Lucas Oil. Brandon Shepherd is running hot right now as well. It's early, I understand. We saw how long it took Brandon Shepherd last year to really get going before he took the points lead and ran away with it, but going into this year, is there anything you've seen or heard that would make you think that Brandon Shepherd might have a little different competition this year? Maybe some drivers moving around with teams?
I mean, I really haven't heard anything crazy like that. But I do hope that we can see some new champions out of all three series. I mean, no offense to Brad Sweet, but it's time for something new. And Brandon Shepherd's won quite enough.
Yeah. I think it's probably a good thing that Brandon Overton doesn't really run with either series.
Could you imagine if he did?
I got a feeling that if he did, it would be bad for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it would change the way whoever races in that series. It would just make a huge difference if he picked one versus the other one. I mean, look, we got a first-time champion, a rookie, and everything else out of the All-Stars. Amazing, by the way, and I believe I called that. So I think it's high time we see that, especially in the sprint cars. I'd be down for anyone in the sprint cars winning.
We definitely could. I mean, you know, there's always that chance, and we'll just have to wait and see, I guess, what happens next week February 16th. I guess that's middle of next week.
About a week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens down there at Volusia. We'll see if Brandon Shepherd has got his card. Huh?
Maybe we'll see rookie Casey Kane do something.
Could you imagine Casey Kane winning?
It would blow up.
The World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series Championship after his own driver has won it for 3 years in a row now. We'd have a new winner, but it'd be the same team.
But it would be a new winner. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. And it would be Casey Kane.
And the Twitterverse would go crazy.
And every girl around the country would go crazy. It would be a nightmare. It would be an absolute nightmare.
They'd probably break the internet.
In case you have lived under a rock for I don't know how many weeks now. Yeah, Casey Kane took over the 9 car after Mr. James McFadden signs with Roth Motorsports to take over the 83 in the World of Outlaws this year. So
I hope he gets a couple wins. 3 or 4.
Who, McFadden?
Yeah. 3 or 4. I'm going in that range.
I think for sure. I think he will. I mean, he had 2 wins last year. Didn't get to start the season even at the very beginning, missed 6 races, but to come in and still get 2 wins, and not only that, but to still finish top 10. He finished almost top 5 in the points. He was 7th in the points after missing 6 races. So, he only got to start 70 races, while the other guys above him all had 77, and he still got 2 wins and finished 7th place in the points. So I think most certainly he will get 2 or 3 wins in that number 83 car.
Well, make sure you write down that I said 3 and 4, and we'll check it about mid-season and see how I'm doing.
All right, let me write this down. Christina...
I'm just saying, I was fully right on the sunshine thing.
You were. You were definitely with that. So Christina says James McFadden will definitely get 2 to 3 wins.
No, 3 to 4. 3 to 4.
Oh, 3 to 4.
Yeah.
3 to 4. Okay. 3 to 4 wins for Mr. James McFadden this year in that number 83 Ross Motorsports car. Christina, what do you say? Let's take a quick break. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll get some sponsors on the air, and then we'll come back. And we are on the other side of the break. We still have coming up, of course, the penalty box. We've got Matt Humphrey coming up. He will be joining us to talk NASCAR. So we'll get his impression. He was in L.A. yesterday and this weekend. So we'll talk to him about the clash at the Coliseum. We'll talk about NASCAR with Matt Humphrey, good friend of the show. And we've got more stuff to talk about with Christina as well. We've got some more special guests coming up in the next few weeks as well. So keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847. For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com today. Hardcore Fishing Game offers top shelf customizable outdoor apparel, sweatshirts, and more. Yes, you heard that right. They can custom design apparel for your company or sports team. If you need a morale boost or just to keep your team cool and comfortable, be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com. When you do, use discount code HFG20 and you will get 20% off of your entire order. Thank you to Chuck and all of the guys over at Hardcore Fishing Game for coming on board with us last year. Also, thank you and shout out to Amanda at Racer Chasing Apparel. Of course, every show Talking Dirty is brought to you by Racer Chasing Apparel. Whether you're at the track or wishing that you were, Racer Chasing Apparel has you covered. You can catch them on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, and you can also go to their website, racerchasingapparel.com, and shop their inventory today. They are trying to clear out some of their older inventory to make room for some new stuff that they have. They have recently moved to South Florida. North Florida as well. So everybody's moving to Florida. Chuck moved Hardcore Fishing Game down to Florida. Amanda moves down to Florida. My co-host lives in Florida. It's almost as if it's a sign. The only thing keeping me here, of course, is Barbasol. Barbasol is located in Ohio. 357 Woodworks is located in Ohio.
For now.
But
I
no,
set a trend. I'm a trendsetter. I moved to Florida, and then everybody else did.
Everybody wants to follow you. So thank you for that. But no, be sure to check out all of our sponsors on any of their social media platforms. Most everybody has an Instagram or a Twitter or especially a Facebook website. Be sure to check them out. Just like Christina and I tell you guys all the time, to go to your small town short track, your local short tracks, and because they depend on you coming through the gate to help support not just the track. You know, the track needs money to turn the lights on and pay some of the employees. They're not all volunteer. They got to do, you know, different stuff, upkeep on the track. But also a lot of that money a lot of that gate money goes towards, you know, payouts for the drivers and stuff. So it's important that you check out and go to a race in your hometown or someplace close. You know, if you're a family that's into racing, schedule a vacation once. There's plenty of big events that you could go to. Ohio Speed Weeks travels around the state of Ohio. You've got PA Speed Weeks that basically is the western to middle portion of Pennsylvania. Big dirt tracks in Pennsylvania. You got the Firecracker 100 at Lernerville every year with the late models. There's the Pittsburgher at PPMS. Eldora has big. Now, Eldora could probably survive most of the year without fans just because of the backing that they have, and they've been around for a long time. But they still need people to come, too. But your small-town short tracks like Wayne County, Midvale, Jennerstown, Lernerville, Port Royal, these racetracks, Christina and I talk to you guys all the time about, they depend on you coming. The sponsors that we have are not big, huge corporations. You know, Barbasol, Hardcore Fishing Game, you could call them, you know, Barbasol for sure. Obviously, they're nationwide. Hardcore Fishing Game, they've got some big-time talented people that support their brand that are big-time fishermen. So they've got their name out there as well. But Racer Chase and Apparel, they're just a little small business. Margazzano Designs, Debbie G Photography, 357 Woodworks. You know, these are small companies, small businesses that just have an owner that does the work. And, you know, Scott has a full-time job on the railroad with me and does woodworking on the side. So just like the small-town short tracks that Christina and I talk about all the time, we've got you've got your small businesses that support shows like us and say, you know, they are friends with us. So, you know, we support them as well. And you going to their websites or following them or interacting with them shows that, you know, you listen to us and you support them because you support us. So be sure to follow them on social media as well, too, to help their brand. Because when you follow them and like their content or share their content, that gets their name out there as well. And, you know, it's free advertising for them. You know, a lot of businesses, they can't afford advertising. You know, Bree over at Margazzano Designs, you know, she doesn't pay for big advertising. She depends on word of mouth and people sharing her content. So it's important to do stuff like that as well. And Christina, she's been promoting small town short track racing for a long time. And Christina, how's it feel to be back on Monday nights? is it you know, like a throwback? Are you bringing back some good memories of the original Slicks and Sticks?
This is like let's compare it to NASCAR. This is like Darlington for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, like, honestly, the show wasn't called Slicks and Sticks in the beginning. It was really bad, so I won't repeat what it was called. But then I kind of did my own thing, and this is when Slicks and Sticks came about. And, yeah, we always did Mondays because it followed NASCAR, the Sunday race or whatever. And then Thursday was when we did the dirt show usually. So it's definitely an interesting vibe to come back to Monday.
Well, we are probably going to be on Mondays for quite a while with my work schedule being Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, every
yeah,
other
don't
Saturday.
Don't do your schedule anymore.
I try not to. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was better of a situation that I took because it frees up my Sundays. So, you know, if I want to go to a racetrack on a Saturday, or I don't have to worry about being home right away on Sunday to go back to work.
Or a NASCAR race.
I don't have to take Sundays off. I can go to a NASCAR race and do a show.
You can come to Homestead.
I could go to Florida. I could go to Florida for a race, and
mm-hmm.
I could even be there.
I tell you this once a week.
I know. I hear it all the time, almost every day. and I could even be there Sunday night and don't have to come home right away on Monday because I don't have to be at work till Wednesday. So I had to give up Friday night shows. What's that?
I said you would need that extra day to leave Florida.
Yeah, definitely. So somebody who left Florida, we'll talk about that. Somebody moved out of Florida. So see, not everybody's moving to Florida, Christina. We have somebody who
left. Yeah, but he wants some more warm too.
He did. He did.
He was smart and stayed away from the snow.
He gave up Florida humidity for West Coast dry heat, and we'll ask him about that. We will take a quick break, and then when we come back on the other side of the commercial, we'll give Barbasol another commercial, and then when we come back, we will bring on our good buddy Matt Humphrey. So keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We've got Matt coming up after the break, and then after that interview, stay tuned, stick around, because we still have the penalty box coming up and some other special guests coming up later in the month as well. So we'll be right back.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game, as we are every show. And thank you for tuning in tonight. And now we are joined by our good friend of the show, Mr. Matt Humphrey. Good evening, Matt, and welcome back.
Peter, it's great to talk to you again. And I tell you what, after hearing that commercial, I feel like I need a shave now. I'm going to go get a can of Barbasol. Lather up, break out the razor, and get a nice clean look as I head into the next week. But always good to join you.
It's always good to have you on. I teased a little bit there because Christina is trying to get me to move to Florida. We've got two other sponsors that have recently moved to Florida, but you have moved out of Florida and moved west. And it came with a different type of responsibilities for you. Of course, you work in NASCAR. And for those maybe new to the show who might have not heard you do an interview with us before, what exactly is your official title now? And what are some of your responsibilities on a race weekend?
Sure. So I'm now NASCAR's director of track communications for the West region. So I manage the communications for the communications and media relations for our tracks in Phoenix, Kansas, Iowa, Fontana, California, and now the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, where we just concluded the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum yesterday. Live on Fox. But that was those are the tracks that I specifically work with, but I also still help out on the racing communication side and travel around to other tracks on the circuit and help serve as a liaison between our garage area and our media, arrange interviews, provide counsel, messaging, and really just really help folks tell the story of our sport. Boy, do we have a story to tell right now.
Yes, we do. We have a lot going on between last season and what's coming up for this year, which we'll touch base on here in just a little bit. So moving out west, has the readjustment been smooth? Are you all readjusted to that West Coast type of atmosphere and weather, or are we still adjusting? Because I know some of the pictures you have posted, and I'm not going to say where you moved to because that's not my business to tell yours. But you know, some of the pictures you have posted on some of them hikes, the terrain and the sights are absolutely beautiful.
Well, the West is the American West is one of the most beautiful places on the planet, and so you can't turn without being in awe of the nature around you. So, you know, being based here in Phoenix, at Phoenix Raceway, you're within an hour or 2 hours worth of a drive to some of the most gorgeous and breathtaking hikes on the planet. And mm-hmm. so on the few days that I get a chance to step away from telling the story of our sport, I like to step outside and really commune with nature and get out and see the great sights that are to be seen here in Arizona, California, and all points in between.
We are talking with Matt Humphrey. He works in the competition communications side of NASCAR. He's joining us tonight. Being based out now, you stay away from Rattlesnake Hill, right? I mean, you don't go around that, do you?
I actually drove up that hill before NASCAR Championship weekend. I took a film crew up there in a Can-Am, and boy, that's a steep climb on foot, but it's a fun climb with four wheels, I'll tell you that much. But no, I tell you what, that hill, we don't like to call it Rattlesnake Hill from a track perspective because really there aren't any rattlesnakes on there during race weekend. Okay. But it's actually one of the best vantage points in all of sports. In fact, for NASCAR Championship weekend this past year, for the NASCAR Cup Series Championship race, we actually filled that hill and we created a section in Turn 1 called the Toyota Turn 1 Terrace, which included fans could purchase a spot in the Toyota Turn 1 Terrace, and they received a tent, four seats, a cooler with some waters, some other goodies from Toyota, where they could sit and watch and have one of the most unique vantage points in all of racing. And it's a breathtaking seat and certainly something we take pride on at Phoenix Raceway. But man, every inch of real estate at Phoenix Raceway was filled this past year for NASCAR Championship Weekend and the NASCAR Cup Series Championship race. So that's a special place to me.
It's got to be exciting for NASCAR to see the crowds come back like that, especially for a championship weekend like that as well. Phoenix, let's talk a little bit about 2021. It was a crazy, exciting season. Any other type of word you want to use to describe, it was definitely that. We saw a few new tracks make the schedule, and it seems like NASCAR was almost trying to maybe hit some new markets last year with some of the tracks that they picked.
Well, that, without a doubt, it wasn't just trying to hit new markets. We hit new markets and we hit them with a vengeance. And we went in there with places like Circuit of the Americas down in Austin for the first time. And we saw that place packed. We went up the Road America on July 4th weekend. And I've been going to Road America with the NASCAR Xfinity Series since I started with NASCAR back in 2011. That place was packed. I mean, you saw the hills were filled with people, certainly the biggest crowd that they've had at that racetrack, maybe ever. And that's four. That's like a 4.5 mile racetrack. They call it the National Park of Speed. And you know, you have animals all around the perimeter of that facility. But boy, that was filled with people and race cars that weekend, and a lot of energy. We had the dirt at Bristol, and guess what? That was just the beginning. Look at the new markets we went to this year. I mean, starting with yesterday with the Busch Light Clash at the LA Memorial Coliseum, taking the racing to the heart of downtown Los Angeles. We're going to go to St. Louis this year with Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway with the Cup Series. And that, I'll guarantee you, they will pack that place to capacity, if not over to capacity. And then the Xfinity Series heading up to Portland, giving us a presence in the Pacific Northwest. And of course, last year we went back to Nashville for the first time since the 80s, and took the Cup Series to Nashville Super Speedway. So there's a lot of energy right now in our sport. And you know, kudos to Ben Kennedy and Steve O'Donnell and everybody who's coming up with an aggressive schedule to really change things up and help us grow. And we're really seeing a difference both at the gate and on television. And that's tremendous, and it shows that our sport is relevant and growing and ready to enter a bright future.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, Circuit of the Americas. You mentioned Road America. We ran – I say we, like I'm part of NASCAR. NASCAR ran 7 road courses last year, 6 of them in the regular season. Of course, we run the Roval in the playoffs. That's 3 times as many road course races as it was in the past. You know, usually it was Sonoma and Watkins Glen. That was about the only road courses we would see Cup go to. But we ran 7 of them this year. I thought it was awesome. It was great to see that. What was some of the feedback that NASCAR got from fans, drivers of the sorts, on going to that many different road course races in one season?
Ultimately, what matters is what the fans tell us, right? And the fans overwhelmingly responded in a positive manner. And it's because the action you see on those road courses, you know, it's not like Formula One where, you know, you win the pole, it's follow the leader and ho-hum, you know, go to bed, you know who's going to win the race. In a NASCAR race on a road course, you have tight competition, side-by-side battles, nose-to-tail, heavy braking. I mean, those are the thing is, those cars are heavy and hard to drive. And so when you have that combination together, that makes for an entertaining product. It almost turns it into a short track race on a 2.5 or 3 mile or 4 mile road course. And so that makes it really entertaining for our fans, and our fans have responded well to it.
And of the road course races, even last year, you know, we didn't, it's not like we saw the same guy winning. We had 4 different drivers, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, A.J. Allmendinger, Christopher Bell. So we got to even see some different winners as well amongst those road course races. You know, back in the day, I remember when I first got into NASCAR 2003, 2004, you know, you would always see these teams bring in what they called their road course ringers, you know, and those guys would sometimes keep up with and compete very, very well with the Cup drivers. But it seems like, Matt, in the last several years, 5, 6, 8 years, that the Cup drivers have really upped their road course game. And I'm thinking maybe that led to scheduling the road courses like we did last year, because the drivers, the NASCAR Cup drivers, have gotten so much better at it.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, there was a period of time, even before, if you look way back, even before, before the early 2000s, I mean, way back in the day, NASCAR used to open its season in California at Riverside, which is a road course. But you know, aside from going to Riverside and Watkins Glen, you really didn't see a lot of road course racing. And then when Riverside dropped off the schedule and went away, you had Sonoma come on. You had Sonoma and Watkins Glen for years, but you know, I think our drivers took it as a challenge, and you do see that. You see our drivers who may lack experience on the road racing side. I mean, they'll jump in a Trans Am car, they'll jump into IMSA, but just to get some more seat time on a road course. You saw guys like Kyle Larson, for example. When Kyle Larson first started, he didn't know how to shift. And and so what did he do? He jumped in a K&N car or what is now an Arca Menard Series West car out of Sonoma. Not only did he learn how to shift, he won the race. And look at him. He's one of our top road racers now. So these guys really took it as a personal challenge to up their game. And you see it across the board that everybody wants to be competitive, and it's made for a great product on track.
Yeah. The sprint cars don't even have a starter. They got to get put
to
start. So not only do they not have a starter, they didn't have a shifter. So, yeah, a lot of learning Kyle Larson had to do, and we'll talk about him. But in addition to those several new road courses that we saw on the 2021 schedule, we also, you mentioned a little bit ago, we went to a few new events even. We are talking with Matt Humphrey. He is in the competition communication side of NASCAR. He's joining us tonight on the Barbasol Shea phone lines. But you mentioned we went to Bristol, which we do every year. Nothing new there, right? But it had dirt on it when the drivers got there. We also had Nashville back on the schedule. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the Southern 500 was a playoff race.
Absolutely.
That was new. So we had some new events back on the schedule. And, we talked about it a little bit ago about NASCAR hitting some new markets. It also seems like NASCAR tried in 2021 to try and rebrand themselves and kind of get out of that old school NASCAR redneck type of mentality and hit the grassroots racing a little bit more and hit some new markets and rebrand themselves for some new viewers and new fans.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, NASCAR has made, bold moves in the past several years, and particularly I would say within the past 2 years. I mean, last year we won League of the Year. NASCAR won League of the Year from the Sports Business Journal, which is no small feat for a non-stick and ball league to win League of the Year. And that was really twofold. One was how NASCAR was nimble and navigated through the pandemic to not only be the first sport back in competition full time, but to complete an entire season and really make a difference. But then also the stance that NASCAR took on social justice. I mean, you remember back when we had the social unrest, during 2020, and the fact that before we started our race at Atlanta, we had a moment of listening. And Steve Phelps, our president really, set the bar high and really said, we're listening to the folks who are protesting and just really wanting change, and everybody was wanting change and we're seeing that change happening, and the fact that NASCAR is becoming a more diverse and inclusive sport is no mistake, because without that we don't grow. Without becoming a more diverse and inclusive sport, we don't have Michael Jordan as an owner. We don't have Pitbull as an owner. We don't have new sponsors coming into the sport. We don't enter new markets and have tremendous crowds enter the racetrack in those new markets. That's not by mistake. It's by design, and it's the right thing to do, most importantly. And it's a good thing to see, and it's good to see NASCAR benefiting from it.
Yeah, I almost forgot too. The All-Star race got moved to Texas. I mean, that's something new that I'm sure threw off a lot of the old school NASCAR fans that are used to the All-Star race being in Charlotte the week before the 600. So definitely some new stuff. You talk about new owners. You mentioned Michael Jordan. I believe Emmett Smith and Floyd Mayweather have joined NASCAR now too.
The money. Yeah. You bet. Yeah. So, Emmett Smith joining up with Jesse Owuji and then Floyd Money Mayweather. Unbelievable. I mean, there's a tremendous energy that's out there for our sport right now. People want to be involved. I mean, yesterday when I was at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, seeing the crowd that was there, seeing that 70% that watched the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum that bought a ticket to that race, 70% of them were coming to a NASCAR race for the first time. That's
crazy.
An incredible and staggering number. And it's a sign that NASCAR is growing, that NASCAR is a product that people want to consume, and that NASCAR is a sport on the rise, and I can't be happier for it.
Yes, we are talking with Matt Humphrey, good friend, longtime friend of not only me but the show. We appreciate you coming on when we ask. Last year was a storybook year, not just for NASCAR. You know, we talked about the several new different events and venues that NASCAR visited, but how about this young man, Kyle Larson, coming back, signing with Hendrick Motorsports? You know, a lot of people thought, okay, first year with a team, he's got to get comfortable. He's got to get used to that car again. He's used to throwing a light sprint car around the dirt for a year. He's got to get back in this heavy NASCAR. I don't think he skipped a beat, Matt. He goes on to have 10 wins, 5 of them in the playoffs. He wins the All-Star race, and he goes on to win the championship all in his first year at Hendrick Motorsports. Talk about bringing the excitement back. New venues, new events, a young guy like Kyle Larson bringing the young fans back as well and winning the championship. I mean, it was just all around a huge year for NASCAR last year.
Without a doubt, Kyle Larson was the most dominant driver we had from start to finish. I mean, he had 10 wins, but he could have easily had 15 or 16. I mean, that's how good he was last year. I mean, there are several wins he left on the table that he didn't close. So that the fact of the matter, I mean, it's just amazing to watch that kid drive. He is by far the most talented young driver, pure driver, in any form of motor racing right now, hands down. And that's not saying anything against anybody else. I mean, Chase Elliott, wickedly talented. Ryan Blaney, wickedly talented. Bubba Wallace, talented driver. Kyle Busch, I mean, one of the greatest who've ever, you know, gotten behind the wheel in NASCAR Cup Series racing. But Kyle Larson just seems to be on another level right now. From a skills perspective, and it was really fun seeing him get on that top line Hendrick Motorsports equipment last year, and seeing him reach his potential, because we saw glimpses of his potential in years past when he was with Chip Ganassi Racing. I mean, he saw his dominance on those 2 mile ovals of Michigan and Auto Club Speedway, but he was almost just on the cusp of breaking through at a place like Bristol or Dover. And showing his mettle at other tracks. But last year, he was just good anywhere he went. And so, I mean, it was fitting that he won the NASCAR Cup Series championship. But it's also, you know, what was even, to me, was more special about Kyle's season is just watching his growth as a person, as a father, as a human being, and seeing how he really genuinely atoned for, you know, some past mistakes and made the most of his second chance, and God bless him for it, because he definitely made the most of an opportunity and has really grown both as a person, as a race car driver. And it's fun to watch. I've had the good opportunity and fortune to spend some time with Kyle, just a great person. And somebody that, I hope is in our sport for a long time to come.
Oh, he definitely brought the excitement. And it didn't matter, Matt, if we were on the West Coast, he won in Vegas. If we were on the East Coast, he won, you know, at Charlotte, and he won at Watkins Glen. I mean, and in the South, he won in Texas. So it didn't seem to matter where NASCAR went last year. Kyle Larson won literally from coast to coast in the NASCAR season in 2021, and then winning that championship at Phoenix last year as well. So that's 2021. Let's kind of shift towards 2022. We've got a lot of exciting things coming this year, and we saw one of the big changes that NASCAR has been working on, we saw it yesterday at the Clash in the Coliseum, and it's that new car. It's that new car for this year. A lot of different changes on this car. Matt, we saw a couple of them that you could see from a fan's perspective right away as we moved the number closer to the front tire, and those wheels, they only have one lug nut. Now, before teams were getting in trouble for that, but now we only have one. So a couple cosmetic changes you can see right away, but lots of changes to the car for safety, for the driver, for the teams. And how would you say after the race yesterday, moving on for 2022 with this new car, what's the overall consensus now?
Well, I think, the NASCAR next gen race cars certainly passed the test yesterday at the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum. You look at how they performed, how they look. First of all, the styling that the next gen car brings to NASCAR puts the stock back in the stock car racing. The body styles with the lower greenhouse and the shorter deck lid, it has a sportier look. So the Mustangs and Camaros and TRD Camrys that you see on the racetrack are like the cars you see on the interstate every day. So that's those styling cues are one thing. The 18-inch wheels with the bigger brake package and the single lug, that's another thing. But I think to me, a key difference in this car this year from a performance standpoint that fans are really going to appreciate are the composite bodies that these cars have. I think the drivers are going to actually be able to be a little bit more aggressive with those bodies. We've had composite bodies in the Xfinity series for the past several years, and you see drivers that like a Kyle Larson or a Tyler Reddick who love to work the high line, could actually really just get up right next to that wall, and that composite body will get. It's a little bit more durable than the sheet metal that used to be placed on the cars. So I think drivers who are more aggressive are going to be rewarded this year, and so I think that's going to be something to watch. Certainly in the early going this year, I thought you saw it yesterday and actually throughout the weekend until Tyler Reddick had the mechanical issue. But man, that eight car was on rails at the LA Coliseum, and I tell you what, you want to talk about another talented young driver, Tyler Reddick, a kid came from the dirt ranks. That kid can drive, and you're going to see. I think you're going to see some big things out of that eight car this year. He may be one of the surprise drivers to watch early on, but then again, we don't really know what's going to happen. I think this new car is going to be an equalizer early on in the season before teams really have it. Nobody has it really figured out yet. So they tested at Phoenix here before they got to LA. And I think you're going to see some drivers you're not used to seeing up at the top of the charts, perform well early on. And you may see some veterans struggle with it because it's a harder car to drive, it's going to be a fun storyline to watch. And certainly, I can't wait to see it on track at Daytona International Speedway with the Great American Race. That is going to be a lot of fun here.
Oh yeah, and we'll get to see it even before that with the duels and with qualifying. We'll get to see how that car holds up with those speeds. We're talking 200 mile an hour, pedal to the metal, don't lift, going into them high banked corners. We're going to see that car really get some action then. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit too about this past weekend's event. You got to be there live and in person. You got to take in the whole weekend in downtown Los Angeles, NASCAR in downtown Los Angeles, to see the aerial pictures yesterday during the race with that Los Angeles backdrop, the downtown Los Angeles backdrop. How much you posted several pictures leading up to this event. There was a lot of work that got put into it. It was a success. A lot of people doubted it. A lot of people thought it was going to be carnage and chaos, and it wasn't going to be very good. But overall, Matt, to experience this entire weekend in the L.A. Coliseum for a NASCAR race, what did you take away from this whole weekend from the event to the racing to everything wrapped up all weekend?
I'll tell you what, mission accomplished. I mean, we wanted to take NASCAR as a whole wanted to take a bold step forward and do something different to change up the schedule and to really add a little extra oomph to the start of our season. And boy, putting a race in the heart of downtown Los Angeles, I think that'll do it. And if just walking around that stadium yesterday and not just seeing all the fans, I mean, we had a great crowd on hand, but the number of young people in the stands was astounding. They brought a ton of energy, and seeing the young people, many of them experiencing a live NASCAR event for the first time, that right there made every single penny we spent worth it. And just seeing that, and everybody, and watching everybody walk out of the stadium last night after it was all said and done with a big smile on their face, it's amazing how many people stuck around too. So like after Los Angeles sports crowds have a reputation of leaving early, right? They arrive late and leave early. Those folks stuck around to the end, and then even after Joey Logano took the checkered flag, there were a couple thousand of them sitting behind the Olympic cauldron in Olympic Plaza waiting for Joey to come out of victory lane and to cheer him on. That was astounding, and just seeing a young, diverse crowd enjoy our sport. I tell you what, our sport's in great shape, but it's also in great hands with the young drivers, the young energy, and just the overall feeling and direction of the sport right now. It's certainly in great shape. But Peter, I'm telling you. I had the good fortune of working on this project since September before we made the announcement. And I was out there the night of our Richmond race last September. I was at the Coliseum for a Stanford USC football game just so I could see the venue in action, how the venue operates during a football game. And we were touring with the officials at the Coliseum, and we had we were watching the football game on the field, but I was able to watch the NASCAR race on my phone with perfect connectivity. It's a century old venue, but it's also a state of the art venue from a technology standpoint. And our fans were able to enjoy that yesterday. And seeing the transformation from football facility to a quarter mile NASCAR racetrack. I mean, dude, it looked like that racetrack belonged there all the time. It looked like that racetrack has always been there. I mean, it did not look like a football stadium. It looked like something you saw in the movie Cars. That was so cool. And to see the evolution and how quickly it came about. I mean, you got to think about it. We broke ground on December 21st. We raced last night, and then by the time we take the green flag on February 20th for the Great American Race, it's all going to be restored to where it was before we broke ground. It is an amazing engineering marvel by the NASCAR design and development team led by Derek Muldowney and Marty Pfluger. It's an incredible testament to our drivers who were able to put on a great show on a track they had never seen before or never raced on before. But yet it's just an incredible testament to our fans who came out and supported it both at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum and by watching it live on Fox. I couldn't think of a better way to start our season.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. That was definitely a great race yesterday. Some of the other events, the Clash at the Coliseum got this year kicked off and started. We're going to have a bunch of other great events again this year. We've got Bristol on dirt again. We're going back to Circuit of the Americas, Road America for the Cup Series, Nashville again. And you mentioned it a little bit ago, Worldwide Technology Raceway. This is a new track for the Cup Series this year as well. So Indianapolis road course again for the Cup cars. So the Clash just kicks off another what looks to be great, exciting season for NASCAR, and it was a success yesterday. How exciting do you think it's going to be to show up in St. Louis for the Worldwide Technology Raceway race this year in June?
But first of all, it's a tremendous racetrack. I mean, the surface itself, the racing surface itself, lends to great racing. And when you see, we've watched other series perform there in the past, it's put on a great show, and we have such great fans there. But I mean, I have no doubt that the NASCAR Cup Series is going to put on a tremendous show there in the Madison, Illinois, Greater St. Louis area. It is going to be something to watch. But yet again, I mean, these bold moves to the schedule. I mean, I've been saying for years that NASCAR had been on the threshold of a new golden age. I think after yesterday, with the success of the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum, and what we're going to see with the next gen car, NASCAR is crossing that threshold into a new golden age. Young drivers, young energy, and new venues. What a great combination, and what a great time to be a NASCAR fan.
We are talking with Matt Humphrey. He is in the competition communication side of NASCAR. Matt, real quick, last question, kind of wrap it up. And I know you can't just pick one, because you know we can't leave anybody out, especially since you work for NASCAR. You know, it'd be different for me to say, but I'm going to ask anyway. What is maybe one or two or three things that you most are looking forward to, either because it's the new car or just maybe it's a new event, a new venue? Maybe it was yesterday at the Clash at the Coliseum, but is there a couple things that you are so looking forward to this season that you can't wait to see NASCAR arrive for that weekend?
Well, first of all, the Daytona 500 in 2 weeks. the Great American Race. I mean, it goes without saying it's our biggest race of the season, and for good reason. Great racing. I mean, pack racing, 200 miles per hour. You're going to have, you know, the debut of the next gen car at Daytona. That's a must attend, and it's already sold out. So now it's must see TV. So you're gonna, you know, that's gonna be a tremendous event. But what I'm looking forward the most to is to see who is really going to get a handle on this new car early. And I think you're going to see some surprises early, some new faces that are going to be up front contending for wins and seeing that challenge. But also, I mean, looking at what our broadcast partners are bringing to the table, NASCAR on Fox, hey, they did a tremendous job yesterday with the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum. But Tony Stewart in the booth. Boy, having Tony Stewart and Clint Boyer in the booth together, I mean, Mike Joy is going to have his hands full early on in the season with those two guys and trying to wrangle them together. But I love the approach that NASCAR on Fox has taken. NASCAR on NBC is always a good broadcast partner for us in the second half of the season. The insight that Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Burton bring to the table, I think, is tremendous. Oh, guess what? You got that young Burton kid, Harrison Burton, behind the wheel of the historic Wood Brothers 21, running for Rookie of the Year against, one of the most talented drivers we've seen come up in a while, in Austin Cindric, who's taken over for Brad Keselowski in that number two car. I think seeing those two drivers, I think both of those guys are going to see some success this year and really contend right out of the gate. I think another thing to watch is Brad Keselowski as a team owner with Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing in the sixth car. It'd be interesting to see how that organization responds with the addition of Brad Keselowski. And, you know, you have Brad and, Chris Buescher, and seeing those guys, what they're going to do. I tell you what. I'm just a big fan. I mean, I work for NASCAR, but I'm a big fan, and I'm just like the rest of you. I like to sit back and relax and watch and see how it's all going to unfold. And I can't wait to help tell that story as the 2022 season unfolds. But selfishly, because I'm based here out west, and I work directly with our West Coast tracks, I really can't wait until week two of the season when NASCAR returns to Auto Club Speedway for the first time in 2 years with the Wise Power 400. It's the 25th anniversary of Auto Club Speedway this year, and we're going to do a lot of stuff to really celebrate that 25th anniversary season. We have Collective Soul performing a 60-minute concert before the race in the O'Reilly Auto Parts fan zone on the stage. That's going to be something to behold. And you know, they always do the 5-wide salute before the start of that race. That's coming back this year. I can't wait to see it. And that's a surface. That's like the oldest surface we have on the circuit and the grittiest. I mean, that it's going to provide for some great racing and a great challenge for our drivers.
And you've got Auto Club, Vegas, and Phoenix, 3 races in a row.
Oh.
So
yeah, no,
you're
going to
be busy. West Coast is the
best coast, baby.
and then you get to crown another champion at the end of the year. As you'll be at Phoenix for that also. So definitely looking to be a very exciting season, new car, new design. We've got some new drivers, rookies. We've got new team owners. We've got just a lot of new stuff going on, new racetracks, new events. It's going to be another fantastic year as well. I'm excited. And now with my work schedule, I get to watch racing again on Sundays. So I'm excited about that as well. So definitely going to be a great, great year. Matt, thank you again. I know it's been a long weekend for you being in LA and everything, but I always appreciate when you can take 30 or 40 minutes out of your evenings to join us and come on our show and talk to us about NASCAR, about some of the inside, you know, workings of NASCAR and give us and our listeners a different perspective as somebody who works for NASCAR. I always appreciate you taking that time and talking to us.
Well, Peter, I appreciate you and all you do to help really the grassroots of our sport and promote the grassroots of our sport and really, you know, help that part of our sport grow, because without that, I mean, we have no foundation. And so thank you for being a great supporter of our sport from a grassroots level and for helping to tell our story on the NASCAR side as well. So, man, it's always great to spend time with you, and I really appreciate it, and I look forward to joining you again.
Definitely. And I'm going to try, maybe if I can find a sponsor, I can get out west and go to a race with you again soon, too.
Sounds
we'll
great.
Be looking. All right. Well, you have a great rest of your evening and a great week. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure, maybe halfway through the season. We'll get you back on, see how things are going. But in the meantime, enjoy this season. Best of luck on the West Coast, and have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you, my friend. All the best to you and yours.
All right. That was Matt Humphrey joining us again. We try and get him on once or twice or 3 times a year to talk to us and give us updates in the world of NASCAR. And it's always a pleasure. I've known Matt since I was just a little guy. Grew up around him and his family. Was really good friends with all of them. And, like I said, he's known me since I was just a little kid. So it's great to have him come on the show and talk to us about, you know, like I said, he works on the competition communication side of NASCAR. We went to Michigan a few years ago, the race that Kyle Larson won. And, you know, Matt was right there. He helps conduct interview, leads media members to certain areas or where they need to go or can wrangle up drivers for interviews, you know, and he got to take us to several different areas of the racetrack that not a lot of people, not anybody, but media can go to. And it was definitely an experience. I loved it. It was awesome. And I even got to ask Kyle Larson a question in the post-race winner's interview. So that was awesome. for me as well. So thank you, Matt, to Matt for coming on and joining us. I always appreciate it. We will take a quick commercial break. When we come back, on the other side of that break, we have the this weekend's penalty box. So we'll bring Christina back on then, talk to her, get her penalty box pick, and then we'll kind of wrap up the rest of this show and go from there. So keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. A little technical difficulty for a second. We are back. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game, as always, live from the 357 Woodworks Studios on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview that we had with Matt. I always enjoy talking to him. I know Christina enjoys talking to Matt as well and hearing the things that he talks about when he comes on about NASCAR. So that's always awesome. Christina, what do you think? Are you excited now for the 2022 NASCAR season after hearing Matt get excited and talk about some of the things that we're going to see this year?
I mean, I enjoy his excitement and everything because it just makes it better for all of us, and yesterday really showed that these cars can take a hit.
Yeah. We definitely saw some thumping.
I feel like we saw Ty Dillon really put that car to the test.
And we saw not only that, but, yeah, just the abuse that the cars took. Joey Logano was definitely testing out that front bumper on his car and seeing how durable the rear bumper on Kyle Busch's car was. I really thought Kyle Busch was going to get him there at the end of the race, but I think Kyle just he wore the rubber right off of those tires. Speaking of those tires, did you see those rims? It's going to be weird watching a pit stop with these new rims and wheels. So that's definitely going to be something I look forward to seeing with the duels and the Daytona 500 coming up.
But my biggest concern is this: we didn't have nearly as many laps. And we saw how many cars have a failure of some sort.
Yeah.
With something breaking.
Yeah, that new transaxle that Tony was talking about. Yeah. Well, I mean, these are going to be the bugs that they have to work through this year. And, you know, excuse me, it's not even like it's a manufacturer side of issues.
No,
so
all
it's not
three
like,
have one.
Right. It's not like it's just a Chevy thing or a Toyota thing. This is going to be league wide. So it's going to be Cup Series wide. So it's not like it's just going to be one team or two teams that are having to deal with these issues. It's going to be something everybody is going to be watching and taking notes on. you know, whether it's a Joe Gibbs team that sees, you know, Hendricks at a racetrack, three of their four cars have issues with something like that. You know, these other teams are probably going to be over there like, hey, what happened? What did you guys find? What was the issue? So that these other teams can get on it and work on their own vehicles. So at least it's going to be kind of across the board type of learning experience for everybody.
It's called the Great Equalizer. And I think Matt said it best. I can't wait to see some of these underfunded, under-budget teams run that top circuit with the big guys. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to and can't wait for this season.
Hey, I'm glad the 99 had a good showing all weekend.
He did. He did, too. That was good driving by him, for sure. It's gonna be fun, exciting season. I can't wait. And like I said, I can't wait because I actually get to watch racing again. So it's been a few years.
Yeah, Pete doesn't have to rely on me anymore.
No. I can tweet during the race. I can message during the race. We can have our little group chats during the race. It's gonna be fun. I'll be able to keep up and keep along with all you guys. But also, before the NASCAR season gets kicked off, Christina, which the Daytona 500, we have Speed Week starting the week of February 17th. The duels are that Thursday at 7 p.m. And then that following Sunday, February 20th, we will have, like Matt said, we will be at Daytona, and we will be ready for the, what is it, the 65th running, I believe?
Mm.
The 65th running of the Daytona, whatever, it's the 60-something running of the Daytona 500. But before we do all of that, we have something else next Sunday. Super Bowl 56 will be in Los Angeles, and it will be Cincinnati versus the Rams, the Bengals versus the Rams. I'm going to be posting some stuff this week for Super Bowl Sunday for all of our NFL League Pick'em members. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of points up for grabs. Hope you got your calculators ready to figure out who you're going to pick.
I leave that to you.
And on about that game, Christina, I'll give you one quick tip before we get to too much stuff about that game. Cincinnati, it was already predetermined before the season started even. Who the home team was going to be for the Super Bowl, and it was going to be the AFC team. So the game is going to be in the Rams stadium. Not only was it the first time in history, last year we had Tampa Bay play at their home field for the Super Bowl. That was the first time that had ever happened in NFL history, and the Buccaneers won. This year, the first time in NFL history, we had the NFC championship game, or any conference championship game, was played in the same stadium that the Super Bowl was going to be in, and then that team won, and they're playing at home again. But Cincinnati will be the home team, so they will have the home locker rooms and everything, and the Rams will be the visiting team at their own stadium. So that's going to be.
But will they?
That's going to be interesting. Well, I mean, it comes down to the coin toss. The visiting team gets to call the coin toss. So
it's rigged. It's going to be a weighted coin.
We saw what happened the previous few weeks with the coin toss. But so anyway, that will be the Super Bowl 56 next Sunday I believe it's at 6:15 or something like that. It's a weird time.
I don't know. It's always a weird time.
Yeah. NFL and baseball. I don't understand where they come up with these start times. Like baseball.
Random.
Oh, 4:15, 4:05, 7:15, first pitch. Like, really?
It's 6:30.
Yeah. Oh, that's what time the football game starts? Okay.
Yeah, it'll be 6:30.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and let me hit this here, because this is our favorite time of the show. Never listened to the show before or forget, that is our penalty box sounder. This is Christina's favorite part of the show. She gets to take this past weekend's knuckleheads and throw them in the penalty box. Who do we got this week, Christina?
I have my pick and then I have Craig's pick.
Oh boy.
And mind you, with Craig's pick, you can't hate the messenger. You can only hate the person that does it. So we'll do mine first.
All right.
I'm going to put Ty Dillon in the penalty box because, man, you should learn the first time when you jump to restart. Clearly could have been in that clash if you just wouldn't have jumped to restart and you were the leader. The drama.
The drama.
But, oh, man. Hopefully he learns from this and doesn't do it at Daytona. But he can sit in the penalty box till Daytona. Think about it.
I can't wait to hear this one.
All he says is, I nominate Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, my God.
But you know what that's about. That's what he said.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure if I read between the lines, I know what that means.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. That's all right. He has to work with me this week, so. Sorry, Craig. I'm in the penalty box. I can't do nothing. You're just going to have to do it all.
I love how you just threw it out there that it was you.
Well, I'm not going to beat around the bush. He wants to throw me in the penalty box. He's just going to have to do it all this week at work, I guess. That's what he gets.
Ooh.
So. If anybody has a suggestion for the penalty box, Christina loves all suggestions.
I do.
She will take and listen and hear all of them. She may even pick yours like she did for the goofball that just gave his this week. Thank you again to Craig for listening. I appreciate it. It means a lot, buddy. And yes, I do love you. But if you have a suggestion.
I might throw Jeremy in there.
We should.
He doesn't listen to the show on Mondays. I don't know why. Like, he decides he wants to watch this weird wrestling program on Monday when he could watch the better one on Wednesday.
He chose wrestling over our show.
Yep.
Well, he gets a nomination for the penalty box. We won't throw him in this week. We'll give him a chance. It's a new schedule. I get it. Everybody has to adjust. So we'll give him a chance to redeem himself and maybe listen to us maybe next Monday. But no, if you have a suggestion for the penalty box, Facebook, Twitter. Let us know. Call in, even, or, you know, jump on Twitter and let us know during the show. Give us suggestions, and Christina will listen to your suggestions. And who knows? Like I said, she might just pick yours and throw that person in the penalty box as well. So, but keep it clean. Keep it, you know, show friendly for us. So, but other than that, we love the interaction. We love when we hear feedback about the show and everything as well. So thank you to all of those. And Christina, thank you to you for adjusting your schedule and coming on a Monday.
Oh, it's no problem. I mean, I like doing this show. I like being a part of all of it. And I just like to see where it goes. And I like to talk racing. So.
Well, we definitely, race season has definitely begun. Dirt racing, small town short tracks are going to be starting up very soon as well. So NASCAR was yesterday. Now we've got Speed Weeks. We've got the duels, and we've got the Daytona 500 coming up. And, of course, once that starts, it's going to be NASCAR every Sunday. And we will be here the very next night to talk about it while it's fresh in our minds, while we're still pissed off and angry about what happened. But we'll also still have talking dirty because I think Christina, this is going to be a great dirt racing season as well. I'm excited about it also.
Yeah, I think we're in for the best year of racing.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, you go rest your voice, and hopefully you're feeling a lot better by next Monday. I appreciate you coming on tonight, though, and talking with me and helping me with the show again tonight.
My pleasure. Anytime. And, you know, enjoy the week, everyone. Watch some racing on the internet or go and be at these tracks. And I'll catch you all on next Monday.
All right. We'll be here. Have a good rest of your week, Christina. All right, that was my co-host, Christina, joining me again tonight. Thank you for tuning in on our new show night. I appreciate that. I appreciate all of our listeners that tune in every week. And, of course, we have moved from Friday to Monday. So thank you for readjusting with us. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you to Matt for taking some time out of his busy weekend that he was traveling from LA back home. He took some time to come on the show and talk to us as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you to Matt. We've got some other guests coming up. We will have Ryan Pearson. You know who that is. He will be here on February 28th. So in a couple Mondays, he will be here to talk to us about Wayne County Speedway. So I'm excited about that as well. So thank you for tuning in. Hope you guys have a great rest of your evening. Have a great week, work, vacation, play, whatever you might be doing. Be safe, have fun, and do it good. Do it all the way. We'll be back next Monday for Christina. Thanks to Matt. I'm your host, Pete. Have a great night. See ya.